Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to tee it up. This is Smoke and Joe's Driving Range, presented by PGA Tour Superstore. Here are your hosts, Smoke and Joe Pogge and Mulligan Matt Musil on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Morning, Houston. Rock and roll is here to stay, and we're here, we're there, we're everywhere, thanks to the World Wide Web, and special Merry Christmas to all. I'm Smokin' Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt. Ho, 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 ho.
I'm Bobby Beats.
Bobby Beats, the producer with all the talent, let me tell you. Anyway, it's Christmas week. Hey, boy, you know what? What's really going to be fun is in 2 weeks, I'm going to be able to kick the ass of 2020 out the door and tell it to get out of here. And I don't think I'm the only one that is saying that.
That's true. I wouldn't say that all our problems are going to be behind us, though, when the calendar flips.
No, but it's a new year, and it's you already have your cards dealt, so you know what you got, so you can go out and you can play them.
Okay.
You know, and the vaccine is here. Mm-hmm. That is, by the way, folks, the vaccine is a preventive. It is not a cure. A lot of people, I think, have a misunderstanding about that. But everything's good. By the way,
you can are determined not to take it. That's what concerns me. I mean, this is like, hey, why do we not have polio running rampant in our society? Because everybody is vaccinated right after they're born. You know, exactly. There's a reason that people take these. It's not as if polio virus went away. It's that everyone in the world gets vaccinated. So everyone needs to be mindful of that. They're saying, well, I could do this, I could do that. I'll wait to the next, you know, maybe this vaccine isn't as good as maybe some later version. Just take it. Let's see. It'll be two steps, apparently. Just take it. Let's get going.
Yep.
By the way,
ever want to find out more about the Smokin' Joe's Driving Range, you can always find us at www.smokinjoesdrivingrange.com, and that's smoking without a G.
Yeah,
without a G. Find it out. Let's talk a little bit of golf.
Okay.
Interesting tournament this weekend. It is the PNC Championship over in Florida. And this is the one that started many, many years ago, and it started off as a father-son.
Yep.
Now it has changed because now it's father-daughter, daughter-dad.
Yeah.
All these type of things. But the interesting thing is that this year they have one of the youngest contestants of all time, and that is Charlie Woods, 11 years old. And I heard an interesting question the other day on Sirius PGA Tour. If you're in Vegas, can you put money down on Charlie?
Well, yeah, probably.
I don't think so. I think he's a minor. I think you have to put money down on his dad. I believe. I'm not sure.
I don't bet, so I don't know. How's it going so far?
I haven't seen any results.
I have not followed it.
Today. So it's going to be interesting. I'd love to see the Woods matched up with the Dailies. Big John, Little John. I think that'd be a lot. There's a lot of good families over there. The Trevino's playing it regularly. Langer plays in it regularly. Davis Love and his son playing it on a regular basis. So it's a good tournament. So that's going on this weekend. How about a golf clap for the people up at Champions? Hey, unbelievably great tournament. Got thrown some tough weather, but I thought they did really good.
I would give standing ovation, not just a polite golf clap.
There you go.
They did it. They were outstanding. The job that they did up there, of course, Jackie and Robin lead the band. Brett Nutt, the head pro up there, but superintendent, everybody up there, what they did in the weather conditions, and you could see it, Joe, if you hit a putt, it would hold its line. There were those putts were true. And that what I really liked is it was basically a how would I say this? It was like a tribute to Jackie himself. He was known as a great putter, right? And man, the winner, Kim, made some great putts down the stretch to win that thing. And I just thought the way those greens rolled, I mean, have you seen so many hole-in-ones in a tournament like that? It was fantastic. The conditions through all the weather. I just thought they did a fantastic job. I would say standing ovation for the Berks and everyone at Champions.
It was a great tournament. The winner birdies the last three holes. I mean, phenomenal. And if you've ever played Champions, the last three holes are not the three easiest holes on the golf course. Also, you know, I want to give a standing ovation to a young lady that really showed her merit this past week, and that was Amy Olsen. This young lady comes in. She's so competitive. She plays in Saturday night. She gets the call none of us ever want. Her father-in-law had tragically passed away. She stayed. She had to do a rainout on Sunday. She had to come out in her long underwear on Monday. And she held it together. I think she finished either second or third. Hats off to her. I think you're going to see her name quite a bit because I think she had a lot of maturity on a very tough golf course in a very tough tournament.
Yeah, I thought she was going to win it there for the longest time on Monday. Others were melting away. But, it was tough to see, but also it was amazing to watch Amy handled everything. And how about Stacey Lewis? She was the host, basically. She was the unofficial host of the event. She hung in there until the weekend. I don't know what all happened to her. I know she had some wayward shots along the way, but thanks to Stacey, she was just such an ambassador. She was not at the top of her game, but she was a great ambassador for the city of Houston, for the golf scene here in the Houston area. And hosting, she'd always talk about love having the girls in town. You know, she loved being the host, and I just thought that's fantastic. That's what we want to see from our athletes. We want to, you know, Houston was on display, and it showed so well thanks to the folks at Champions, and thanks for Stacey for being part of hosting the other women. I tell you what's disheartening, Joe. Did you happen to see the Baltimore-Cleveland game Monday night?
Oh, what a game. That's probably one of the best games, not this season, but in many seasons.
That's modern-day football. That's modern-day football.
And did Baker Mayfield answer the question, is he an NFL quarterback?
Yes. Yes, no doubt about it. So,
and did Lamar Jackson say, I've got legs?
Yeah.
Unbelievable game.
I mean, Hey, here's the thing. A side note on that, John Dorsey, he's no longer the GM of the Browns, but he was the one that largely built that franchise, and he's available to be a general manager. I know he's one of the candidates that'll be interviewed, but
That's a big decision.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they got a lot of work to do. I mean, between them, the Rockets, and what's going to happen to the Astros, there's a lot of drama on the Houston sports scene.
Yep. But there's no drama out at U of H. Number 6 in the latest poll in basketball.
Yep.
Yes. But we're running late.
As long as they get through all the COVID thing, Joe, that's the only thing that slowed them down.
Well, they're actually going to tip off tomorrow. They picked up a game with Alcorn State to kind of get the rust off and then go into the season. We've got a great show for you today. We mentioned Julia Pine from the USGA is going to join us, give us a recap of the U.S. Open. We're going to introduce you to one of our great new teaching pros here in Houston. Swinging Sammy Haston is going to join us. But more importantly, we're going to get the man that has an opinion and a great opinion. Steve Elkington is going to join us today. Get his thoughts on how the champions did and Jackie Burke and everything. I'm Smoking Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
Bobby Beats, the man on the mic. There he is. And this is Smoking Joe's Driving Range right here on CBS Sports Radio 650. Welcome back. Smoking Joe's Driving Range right here on CBS Sports Radio 650. This next gentleman is a Cougar diehard. He's a great golfer. He's a great individual. And I love having him on the air because he brings a lot of humor to the show. Please welcome PGA champion, Steve Elkington. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Elk. Good morning. Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Doing great. Fantastic. Being a member of Champions, tell us your thoughts about the past week with the U.S. Open. How did the course do? You saw Jackie and Robin. Did they enjoy the moment? I mean, it was kind of an honor to them, I believe. I think it really showcased the quality of golf ambassadors that they are. So what did the members, what did you think from being on the inside of it?
It was a great week for me. I volunteered for the tournament. I was there the week before the Open, you know, working with the USGA, you know, helping them, you know, look out for where all the pins should be. It was really my first time that I got to, you know, stand there and watch the girls play for 7 or 8 days straight. And, you know, I came away with now a new handful of girls that I just will watch every day, you know, when they're playing. I mean, there's so much talent there. It's a little different speed than the men's, but the consistency and the way they reproduce their swings is fantastic. It was a great storyline. Jackie and Robin, of course, you know, they're very proud to have that event there. And I think everything went pretty well. I mean, all things considered, it was a Monday finish, but champion birdie the last three holes, that'll never be forgotten.
Oh, the last three holes are not easy holes either.
No, I mean, she hit it like this in 16. I was out following Amy Olsen, who was a friend of mine, Catherine Kirk, who's an Australian. I followed her for the first 2 days, Catherine Kirk, and she called me and said, Elk, I want you out there on Sunday following my friend Amy Olsen because she's had a problem with her family, and now all the Japanese media are out there with Subino, and I want you pulling for her. So it was a very emotional day for Amy Olsen, but wow, what a player she is.
Oh, I think that past weekend she showed true gut to have the tragic to her father-in-law to hold it together, to sit there and play and sit down in the clubhouse through a rain delay and have the day canceled, have to come out on Monday. And she was in it till the last hole. I mean, I'll tell you, she's a girl to watch. And, you know, I watched that tournament. I watched more ladies golf last week than I have in a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I walked away from that is I can relate to the female golfers more than I can to the PGA Tour. Because their length and everything that they do relates to the guys I play golf with. You know, I can't relate to what Dustin Johnson does. I mean,
I can't either.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. They said, well, she has 165 to the pin. She'll go 6-iron. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can relate to that. Hey, Elk, you said you had 5 or 6 that you want to follow from now on whenever they play. Who are those? Who are those handful of women that impressed you so much?
I saw a ton of girls. Erin Peterson, not Erin, it's not Erin, Erica Peterson from Europe. She's won 5 times on the European Tour this year, mm-hmm. The last 3 events straight. She missed the cut this week or last week, but she's one to follow. The Jutanagon sisters, Maria and Ariel, those two played with Stacey Lewis on Saturday. I followed Stacey the whole day with Jared Chadwell, the coach of our ladies team at U of H. I didn't realize how powerful Ariel Jutanagon is. I mean, she only hits a 3-wood. She doesn't hit a driver at all off the tee, and she hits it about – because they were hitting a couple of tees, the men did, so all of us were scrambling up there to see how far she actually hit a 3-wood off the tee. She flies a 3-wood about 265 off the tee. Her little sister, Moria, she played in the final group. She's unreal. Amy Olsen, as I said, was another one I'm watching out for. Mm-hmm. The leader all week, Subino. She is so charismatic. Plays a lot different swing than typical Japanese golfers. She has a wide stance with a low hands. and she can chip the ball like crazy. But her demeanor, she's a superstar in Japan. She won four times and the British Open last year. So I've got a handful of girls now that I'm really sort of like, these girls are cool, and I'm going to watch them.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a great PR move for the city of Houston and for Champions. And I'm hoping the USGA took a good look at that golf course and brings back more USGA events to Houston, because I think we deserve it. You know, it used to be they said it was too hot. Well, that's out of the question anymore. But been a crazy year, Steve. How have you dealt with it? What's your 2020 been like?
It's been okay. I mean, my son Sam got out of U of H. He's now working. So my daughter's working. She's a high school teacher. So I told my wife, I said, we used to get up at 6 a.m. to get them off to school and to get them off to high school. Now we get up at 6 a.m. to get them off to work. It's the only time we see them. You know, it is what it is. I think we're fortunate in a certain sense that Texas has been pretty much still able to move around and kind of do what we normally do compared to a lot of my friends that I talked to in California or New York. So, by the way, my whole family got COVID. My daughter got it from school. And she gave it to her mother. I got it. Sam got it. So we all went through it. Fortunately for us, you know, everything turned out okay. Had some fever, had some pains and so on. But it wasn't as scary as maybe the media makes it out to be, for us at least.
You've gotten very involved with the web. You have your own website. You have a lot of pros that are giving lessons and instructions. How's all your extracurricular activities going?
SecretGolf.com is great. We have 33 contributors, you know, tour players that contribute content to our platform. It's good. You know, it's tough because you can't get out on the tour to film them. You can't, you know, there's no access right now. So, you know, the tour has done a good job of getting the guys out there, but I keep telling my friends like Pat Perez and Jason Duffner that I said, mate, if you don't get any fans back eventually, you're going to be playing for 500,000 instead of 10 million. You know, I remember Jim Crane telling me that he lost a ton of money at the Houston Open this year, and he was the only tournament that had a few fans. And I see a memo from the tour that they're not going to have fans on the West Coast or very little.
Yeah, I think when we get to the end of January and we see if there's any spike from the holidays with this pandemic, and the vaccine coming out, I think that hopefully February 1st, the rocket ship will get geared up and be fired off and people will start getting back into the norm. And I think Dr. Fauci just said that he feels late summer, early fall is when we'll probably start seeing normalcy, which is one thing that's good. Yep. Because one of the things that's really sucked about this whole thing, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. All of a sudden, we're finally starting to see a candle down there. There's some kind of light that you can say, I see something. I see the way we're going. So, you know, that's one of the things that's been most aggravating to me. But fortunately, with my team over at our offices, the stay-at-home has worked. We're all been healthy. We haven't had any scares or anything. So, knock on wood. But, boy, do I miss my U of H football. I miss going to Hoffines. I miss all that camaraderie and excitement. And but hopefully, that will get back to us here pretty soon. And we'll start doing that. How's your golf game?
My golf game's pretty good. I had to lay the clubs up for 2 weeks because the club was closed at Champions. I was doing some work over there. So, mate, I was so impressed with this the ladies, the way they drive the ball with this Ping driver. So I've got myself a brand new Ping 425 driver that I can't wait. I'm leaving you guys here very soon to go over and test my new Ping driver, because I'm like any other person that gets a new piece of equipment. I want to test it, and I think there's magic in it.
Well, if you go back at the Masters, one of the golfers that I think lives right up in that description of yours, El Quintin, is that Zach Johnson. Not a big hitter, but boy, is he always in play. And, you know, he won the Masters, and he never went to a par 5 and 2. He played them all, he laid up, got his birdie putt, walked away with a birdie, and great golfer. Well, Elk, it's been great catching up with you. You're looking good. I know you've got that itch to get over to the driving range and try that new Ping driver. So we're going to let you go. Hey, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We wish you a very Happy New Year. We give you total permission to kick 2020 in the ass on the door going out. And have a great New Year.
Thanks, you guys. Look forward to always seeing you. I'll see you down at the stadium.
You got it. I can't wait. I'm hoping to get out there.
Thanks, Elk. See you,
guys. Steve Elkington. U of H guy, PGA champion, great man, great ambassador to the game of golf. right here on Smoking Joe's Driving Range. I'm Smoking Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
And this is Smoking Joe's Driving Range on CBS Sports Radio 650. Welcome back, Smoking Joe's Driving Range. I'll tell you, it never gets old talking to Steve Elk.
Oh, that is fantastic. Elk's such a great guy. From Australia.
Australia, yeah. You know, I should have asked him. I wonder how often he goes back.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how much family he still has back there. That's
a question we'll ask him in the new year. We'll get to that back here. This next gentleman I met through the wonders of Facebook. You know, as I continue to grow our network, I keep adding golfers and instructors and pros and all this. And so I've got this guy, and I'm watching his videos and his comments and everything. I thought, well, you know, this is the type of guy that could come in after Elkington. He could hold his own. He's got some humor. He's got some, you know. So please welcome the director of instruction at the Sammy Hansen School of Golf, Mr. Sammy Hansen. Good morning.
Hey, Sammy.
Guys, thank you guys for having me.
Not a problem. So I got your bio here, and first thing that jumped out at me, you didn't start playing golf very early. I mean, you were like 14, 15 years old when you started playing.
Yeah, I started my late papa, he had moved to Missouri for a few years while my oldest brother was going to college up at CMSU, and my oldest brother picked up golf and got my papa hooked on it. And when they moved back to Crosby in Newport, there in Crosby area, we were there visiting my grandparents one weekend, and they asked us to go hit some range balls, and I had no idea what they were talking about. But went out to old Channelview Golf Course and hit some range balls for the first time, played that day, and that was all she wrote for me. I was hooked.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, in your career, you've been at some golf courses here. I see Cypresswood, Oakhurst, and now you're at Tour 18. So you pretty much have been up in that northeast part of town.
I've been, besides about a five-year stretch where me and my old boss, he was an investor and opened a golf shop down in the Clear Lake area, and Russell Levine down there, we were at Golf Etc., which later became Performance Golf Academy down there in Clear Lake. But besides that, yes, I've been pretty much at northeast side of town, Houston, Kingwood, you know, Tascosa area.
Your current home is Tour 18. It's been a couple of years since I've played it. How's the course doing? How is it getting a lot of play? And have you seen a resurgence in the interest of golf with the pandemic?
Oh, big time. You know, besides, you know, them losing all their corporate events last spring, and some of them they're making back up this fall. But, I mean, they, you know, I've got a couple other golf courses. One of my buddies is the tournament sales director at Cypresswood. And even though they lost all their events for the year, I mean, in public golf especially, there was a good 4 or 5 month stretch where, you know, to try to get a tee time on a day, like a weekend, I mean, you weren't getting a tee time till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon there for a while. But it started to slow down a little bit, but a lot of that's just holidays and weather and all that good stuff. But yeah, there, if the weather's good, that place is rocking.
And Sammy, here's a question I have you: because you're outside, how did it affect your teaching business? Because you can still give instructions, maybe not as hands-on, you know, place your hands here on the grip, that kind of thing. How has it affected how you teach?
I've got a few people, you know, I don't wear a mask when I'm outside because we're not required to, but I've got a few people that are a little bit, you know, they're a little nervous. They're, you know, so I teach them a little bit more from a distance, but, you know, I'm pretty conscious when I'm kind of getting into moving people around and kind of getting up in their space per se, you know, from a face-to-face contact standpoint. There's just certain things that you cannot get people to do unless you put your hands on them and kind of move them. I mean, you could sit there for an hour trying to explain to them how to turn, get their hips to a certain position or spine to a certain position where in 2 seconds of just getting up there and kind of maneuvering them a little bit. But, you know, I'm conscious of it. So it's just like everything else. I mean, with this pandemic and all the kind of the fear and the nervousness with everybody, I'm aware. I've done a good job at not being paranoid about it, but to not affect my job and what I do. And I don't want people to feel like they're not getting the same type of instruction from me, but I am aware and careful.
When it comes to golfers, do you enjoy an individual that's just starting to learn? Do you like a golfer that's been playing for several years and is like a 15 handicap? or do you like the challenge of someone that comes to you, they're a 3 handicap and they want to get it to scratch?
You name it. I mean, if somebody wants my, I've got all those players. My client is 84 years old and I started coaching him. He was 76. He was a 12 handicap. Now he's playing to a 1. And, you know, all of his buddies, like, you know, what are you doing taking lessons? They used to even get upset with him for wanting to warm up before their rounds because they wanted to sit in the snack bar and have coffee. And I was like, why are they getting, are you missing the tea time? He goes, no. He goes, they're just mad that I'm practicing. I'm like, well, at what age do you stop wanting to get better at something? But, you know, the beginner golfer that wants to really learn to play also kind of gets me fired up. But, you know, I like the competitive golfer that's got a desire that will work. The mid handicapper that wants to get better and will actually put some work in, or, you know, that single digit handicapper. Sometimes those guys can be a little bit more difficult because they've gotten pretty good on their own. So they can be a little bit challenging, but I'm not afraid to sell whatever it is I need them to do. And if something they can tell me makes more sense than what I'm throwing at them, then so be it. But I've never had that happen. But, you know, I do have a lot of those single digit to almost scratch golfers that are really close and then working towards that, you know, getting to a 0 or maybe even into the plus handicap range. But, you know, it's all a challenge. You know, I like to prove what it is that is going to help somebody get better. And, you know, if you want to get better, come on.
We're on the phone like with Sammy Hansen. He's the instructor at the Sammy Hansen School of Golf. You can find him up at Tour 18. Sammy, what, obviously, it's coming across in our conversation, your passion for teaching. How about your passion for playing? Do you play very much?
I've gotten back into playing a little bit over the last, you know, 7 or 8. There was a good stretch of about 10 years where, you know, I would get out and play every once in a while with my brothers on my day off, or, you know, the occasional invite I would get to play in, you know, in a scramble or some type of charity event kind of thing. But, you know, I was the victim of that. You know, when you get off work, you kind of don't want to take your work home with you kind of thing. And so there was a lot of times where when I did get a chance to play, I'm guilty of that, not really feeling like playing, because sometimes it felt like it was still work a little bit, because you get out there and, you know, I mean, I love our brothers to death, and they kind of get on to me about waiting too much into the round before I give them a tip as to what they're doing wrong. But, you know, sometimes you get out there and you're playing in these kind of fun casual events with your buddies, and you're you know, you're giving, they're asking you questions and, you know, wanting you to watch their swings, and so you still feel like you're working a little bit. So there was a good period of time where, you know, I just kind of didn't make the effort to get out and play myself like I should have. But I've got that spark and that fire back in me to go out there and play a little bit, and I've actually been working on my body, getting some things going on that I used to be able to do 20 years ago. But, you know, being sedentary a little bit and being on my feet and tight back and all that good stuff. I mean, your body just can't move the way it did once when you're a teenager, but I've been doing some stretching and trying to get in the mindset of maybe even competing again this next year.
How's the course up there at 218 nowadays?
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, right now it's a little saturated, of course, but you know, that's the one thing. I mean, Tour 18 has been doing a lot during the pandemic to put money back into the facility, which is great. Because the customers all notice that, you know, they know that they're making hay. They know that they're doing really well. So, you know, they redid all the bunkers. They just finished a big renovation of the clubhouse. They set up the driving range with that top tracer technology that Top Golf bought a couple years ago. That used to be shot tracer that the PGA. And so now when you're hitting range balls, you can kind of almost do the whole Top Golf experience with playing it like a game and hitting the different targets and tracking your stats and all that good stuff.
No, you know, cool. I was just sort of thinking, what is Tour 18, about 25 years old?
It's closer to probably 30. I mean, probably 90, 92, 93, 91, somewhere in that range. It was built pretty close to when I think the tradition course at Cypresswood was built, maybe just a little earlier than that, but it's got to be close.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I'll never forget when they opened. It was like the talk of the city, talk of the golf, because, here they took 18 of the famous holes of golf and revisioned them up there. And if you've never played Tour 18, it is really an enjoyable round of golf. I mean, you get to see course, you know, some holes from Hinehurst, Augusta, Pebble Beach. You know, some people go, well, how can you duplicate Pebble Beach? There's no ocean. Well, they can't. You know, there's yeah. not all the holes of Pebble Beach are on the ocean. So, so Sammy, with your career in teaching golf and everything, who do you call when you got a kink in your swing and can't figure it out?
You know, honestly, Joe, I've never taken lessons. My middle brother, a couple years older than me, he's 43, but you know, he knows where my swing is when I'm playing really, really well. And I'm still hitting the ball. I haven't played much golf the last 10, 12 years, but I mean, anybody who's taken lessons from me will tell you, I mean, when I pull a club out and try to demonstrate something, I mean, I still have everything going because I've remained connected to my game for all these years. I just haven't committed much time to it, but I mean, I'm still always thinking about my swing and stuff, but I'm such a field player. You know, I'd say my middle brother, he's good at being able to tell me if he saw that I did something that doesn't look like I normally do. If I take the golf club a little bit outside or whatever, he goes, you know, it looks a little different than where you normally are in that, you know, but you know, he doesn't have an eye for coaching, but he has an eye for where he's seen his little brother when he's playing at a high level. But, you know, most of the time when I'm off, I can feel it. You know, I know where I'm supposed to be. I know where I tend to get. I know exactly where I'm at when I'm tight, when I'm tired. I mean, I've taken inventory of all this stuff. I'm kind of a golf nerd about myself, but, you know, if anything, probably the best feedback that I've got is a mirror. You know, I mean, if I got a cart windshield or a window to look at where I can just kind of spot check myself, I mean, that's my best reference.
Sammy Hansen, School of Golf. This has been an enjoyable conversation. We have to do this again in 2021. Oh, how do people get a hold of you, Sammy?
They can reach out to me either on Facebook, at Sammy Hansen, or they can contact me via cell at 281-608-6366.
Sammy, it was a really pleasure having you on. I look forward to meeting you in person. If you're ever down in the southwest part of town, give me a holler. And if I'm ever in your type of the woods, I will bring my clubs and give you a challenge with my swing.
You better do it, buddy, because I'm going to be playing a lot of golf this next year. So get ready. I'll be ready for you.
I like you got it. Matt.
Sammy Hansen right here on the golf show. I'm Smoking Joe.
I'm Mulligan Matt.
I'm Bobby Beats.
And coming up, we're going to have Julie Pine from the USGA talking about the U.S. Open at Champions right here on Smoking Joe's Driving Range on CBS Sports Radio 650. Welcome back.
Woo-hoo!
Final couple of holes here on Smoking Joe's Driving Range.
Yeah. And,
this next guest, we've gotten to know her fairly well this year because of the U.S. Open being played up at Champions and then the pandemic making it move it from June to December. I don't know what we're going to do next year, man. I guess we still have her, even though it's not a champion.
Exactly.
San Francisco. Please welcome from the United Imagine. States Golf Association, Ms. Julia Pine. Good morning.
Hi, Julia.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're kind of awake. It's 6:42 where you're at, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're still pulling some long days, wrapping up the Women's Open, but I think we're all in really good spirits.
Well, high five. Standing ovation. I thought the U.S. Open at Champions was spectacular, and what a finish.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, the golf course really played exactly how we wanted it to. Rave reviews from the players just on Cypress and Jackrabbit. Obviously, Mother Nature, you know, roared its teeth at one point, but to have a birdie finish to win a Women's Open by one, I mean, that's the kind of stuff people dream of.
Oh, and the on TV, the golf course looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, the broadcast in general was great. I mean, that much, you know, wall-to-wall coverage, even though it was listed at 25 and a half hours of live coverage. I mean, Golf Channel was there basically day and night with their Golf Central morning drive crews. So even though we couldn't welcome fans, I mean, the coverage was phenomenal. I feel like those who would have spectated really got a full wall-to-wall view of the championship. And yeah, I mean, the golf course was great. I hope Jack and Robin are proud. I think they are.
Oh, I can see their smiles. I think they are. What a crazy week. I mean, how many different type of outfits did you go through as far as the weather? I mean, it's like you had some gorgeous days and then you had a typical Houston winter day on Sunday and Monday. I mean, and Monday, those poor girls, I mean, they were like playing like four or five layers of clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the beginning of the week, we were just so glad that it wasn't what they had in Dallas because it was pretty cold there. And then we were standing there in 75 degrees and sunny. I actually think it got up to about 78 there for the first two rounds. So, you know, we thought we had caught, you know, kind of the right hole in the weather, but it's a U.S. Open. It's supposed to be tough, and course conditions and weather are part of what makes golf tough as an outdoor sport. But yeah, I think it was Lydia Ko who used the word an onion. You're peeling off layers like you're an onion at some point, because you start the day with, I think I had four or five on. So yeah, it wasn't, you know, the beautiful sunny skies we had earlier in the week, but the golf was still really good. But yeah, personally, I like it a little warmer.
Yeah. A couple of things that came out of the tournament that I wanted to ask you about. There was some people in the PGA media that were talking about the fact that you guys did not do lift clean in place. There's mud balls. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, as at the USGA, we know that there's other kind of tools in our bag. If you look at the yardages, we moved it up pretty significantly on Monday. And you saw Stacey Lewis's quote maybe on Saturday, which is they need to play the ball up or they need to change course setup. And we prefer to change course setup. For us, if the golf course isn't playable to play the ball down, then we won't play. And that's basically what you saw on Sunday. We want the course to shine. You know, we had a hole there on Sunday for a couple hours with no rain, but the course conditions didn't, you know, deem it a U.S. Open course at that point. So we'd rather wait and play later. We know other people do it differently, but that's just part of the DNA of the USGA is to kind of play by the rules.
No, we had earlier, we had Steve Elkington on, and his comments about the play of golf was he's totally part of the game now. And, you know, that's the question I was going to ask you. What does the USGA role, how do you handle something that's tragic as what Amy Olson, you know, she leaves the golf course on Saturday to get a phone call that night that her father-in-law had tragically passed away. What role do you guys play in that? I mean, are you a shoulder to cry on? Are you, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely horrible. You know, we had heard what had happened and, you know, we're mid-competition and she's basically, you know, right there in contention. For us, you know, we really relied on the LPGA there. They know her week in and week out. And the main thing was really just, you know, keeping media at an arm's length if that's what she wanted. So we were just basically in touch with her in terms of whether she wanted the news public or not. And she obviously did starting Sunday night, but just a horrible thing to happen at any point, especially when you're in contention at a US Open. But we're really glad she got to go home. She's not playing this week. Spend some time with her husband and her family. And obviously we wish her all the best. She's a USGA champion. She won the girls junior. So she's always, you know, going to be part of our USGA family.
Yeah, she's a great.
So now you turn everything to the West Coast. You're up in San Francisco next year. You're going to take a couple of weeks off. Can we continue to have you as the pipeline of communication about the Ladies US Open and all the other tournaments you guys do?
Yeah, no, we love talking to you guys and we really love your support of the Women's Open and Women's Golf. I mean, Olympic Club's a phenomenal venue. So the fact that we get to turn the page and go there, I think somebody told me it's something like 170 days away, which scared me a bit. But at the same time, we get to kind of carry the momentum. I mean, this Women Worth Watching thing we have going on feels different. You know, we got a lot of love from even PGA Tour players this week. So in some ways, this condensed window might help. People won't stop paying attention or won't forget about us, and they can turn into another Women's Open at a venue they're really, really familiar with in just about 5.5 months.
Hey, Julia, you're taking a couple weeks off. Will you play golf?
Maybe if it's a warm golf course at this point, but no, I mean, it's going to be nice to take a few weeks off. It's kind of nuts that we're already here at the holidays. It's kind of snuck up on us since we were head down looking at the Women's Open, but one nice thing today, I'm going to kick back and watch the CME Tour Championship, LPGA season closing event. I hope some of the momentum from what we did last week carries into that for them at the LPGA, because this is their second biggest purse on tour. So it's a big deal even starting today. So more women's golf for those who want it.
I know that there's no guarantees or anything like that, but did the performance of Champions Golf Course Is that a good resume for them as far as future USGA events?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, to be honest, even probably before, I mean, the relationship that we have with Robin and Jack and Champions Golf Club, I think we'd always consider hosting more championships there. I mean, what they did in 2017, hosting the women's mid-am after it was displaced because of a hurricane, that's a heroic, you know, a Herculean effort. Like, that's not easy to put together a championship in a month. So not only Jack and Robin, but their whole membership has just been so giving of the USGA. And again, like I said, I hope they're proud, and I'm sure we'll have future continued conversations with them.
Hey, Julia, I know Stacey Lewis dropped out of contention there. As the tournament got later in the tournament, but I know as an unofficial host, she kept talking about it. She just wanted. She said, "I love having the girls here. You know, I want everything great for the girls." How big of a help was she in playing hostess there?
Yeah, I mean, she was great. I mean, she's such an advocate for the city of Houston in general. I wish, you know, in a non-pandemic world, some of the girls, as she said, could have seen more of Houston. But I think that she is right. You know, Houston's a great place for women's golf, and it showed that even when we were recruiting volunteers and when we, at one point, we were selling tickets. So I'm sure she would love more events to come there as well. Also, definitely have to give a shout out to Angela Stanford, who is great for us as well. I know she's not from Houston, more from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but she was such an advocate all year. I know a lot of the younger players talked to both Stacey and Angela about what it would be like, you know, what the course would play like that type of year, and a little bit about, you know, insight into the courses. So a shout out to both of those veterans who really were tremendous for us.
Julia, how about the amateurs? The amateur players did so well in this event that you've got to be excited about the future of women's golf.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Caitlin Papp, you know, a lot of people thought she had a good first round and might kind of fade not being in those big situations before, but she played just phenomenally all week. I mean, to finish in the top 10 as an amateur is a really big deal. She earned herself a spot at Olympic, which is, you know, pretty nice thing for an amateur.
Right.
And then you look at someone like Gabby Ruffles, who for us is a women's amateur champ, so we know her well. She now has 2 top 20s in majors this year. She did it at the ANA and she did it here. So the future of women's golf is bright. And I think it's really nice that some fans started to get to know their names this week, because when they are professional, you know, they're going to have a leg up in terms of marketing themselves and garnering some attention.
Julia Pine, you have been a diamond in the rough during this crazy 2020. Thank you for being a line of communication with the USGA and the US Open at the Champions. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to miss it.
We're going to keep pestering you. In fact, I think Mullick and I are going to see if we can arrange our travel schedules to be in San Francisco when you have media day.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Julia, go out, have a great holiday season, and you know what? You have our permission to kick 2020 in the ass as it goes out the door on New Year's Eve.
We will do just that.
There you go. Julia Pine from the United States Golf Association, been with us all year, did a great U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah.
And we've wrapped up 18 holes, and we're looking good here, guys.
Sounds good. Sounds great. Great to hear Julia, and she was hearing the feedback that we had heard also from Champions, and we love hearing that. We love the USGA loving a course here in Houston, a traditional course like the Champions. Hopefully some events will get back here.
Well, everybody, go out, have a great weekend. Be safe, be good, and be merry as we get the countdown to Christmas.
I'll see you on
Joe.
Hey, I don't know if this has been settled yet or not. Probably hasn't, but hopefully, if you don't have DirecTV or whatever, I'll see you on Channel 11. Those of you who don't, watch us with your rabbit ears.
Has that not been decided yet?
I don't think so. Well, I still get complaints almost daily.
You'll get any complaints from me because I got Xfinity.
Yep, me too.
Yep, there you go. Bobby Beats, go out and have a great weekend.
You guys too. You guys as well.
All righty. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Be safe out there. This is Smoke and Joe's Driving Range right here on CBS Sports Radio 650.
Thank you for listening to Smoke and Joe's Driving Range, presented by PGA Tour Superstore. Check out joesdrivingrange.com for more from the show and enjoy your day on the course. From Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.